I loved watching the sprinters at this year's Olympics, and one of my favorite races was the men's 4x100-meter relay. It was so exciting to see André de Grasse reach the finish line, but just 2/100ths of a second behind that American sprinter. But then the good news, the Americans were disqualified because of the way they had passed on the baton. And there we heard that the Canadians won the bronze medal, de Grasse's third of the Olympics, leading some to anticipate that he is the heir apparent to Usain Bolt. We will see as we move forward how he continues to develop as a runner. I think one of the reasons I love the Olympics is that they speak to us about what is actually way more important than Olympic sports. And here's my point. If how one passes on a baton to the next runner really matters in a race that lasts for about a minute, how much more important is how we pass on the faith from generation to generation to generation? And it's this theme that is at the heart of St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in the passage that Maxwell read for us this morning. How we pass on the faith truly matters. And the faith can actually be passed on in such a way that those who pass it on end up being disqualified. And this is exactly what was happening in Thessalonica. Here there were people, either in person or they were writing to the community in Thessalonica, about the persecution that these early Christians were facing. Remember that these are St. Paul's earliest letters. There's nothing earlier from the pen of Paul than the letters to the church at Thessalonica. But there were some there who were saying that because of your tribulation, this is an indication that the day of the Lord has already arrived, that the end is very, very near. But no, says St. Paul, do not allow these careless teachers to unsettle you. Do not take the baton from them. Drop it right now. Because he wants them to know that in order to truly reach the goal of our life, we need to have the right equipment. We need to run with the right gear so that we can run the race of life carefully. We can run the race of life intelligently. And so St. Paul clearly tells us what the goal of our life is in today's reading when he writes, "For this purpose, Jesus called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here's the thing, we have a calling. And the calling is clearly laid out for us in the good news. Just as Olympic runners are, so to speak, called to a city to run the Olympics this year, of course it was in Rio, so too we are called day by day to run this race that we call life. And there is a clear way in which we are to run. It's found in the good news of the gospel. But listen to what St. Paul says. There's a reason for this, so that we may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, think back to another race from last week, the qualifying heat of the men's 200 finals. And this will probably be the image that will stay in the minds of most people for years to come. That moment when André de Grasse was gaining on Bolt and they're running side by side and Bolt turns to him and with that wonderful Jamaican smile, it just lights up his face, and you just see him encouraging on this young Canadian runner. Here, de Grasse was sharing in the glory of Usain Bolt. Now, in a way that can only be a comparison that is inadequate in capturing what it will be like for us to share in the glory of Jesus, may I suggest it will be something similar. Those who are called to share in Jesus' victory will experience his pleasure, will experience his encouragement, will experience Jesus' smile. Isn't that going to be beautiful? That day. Paul says, we are to share in the glory of Jesus. We are to share in his victory. And the victory at the Olympics will pale in comparison to what we will one day know. But in order for us to run this race with purpose, with direction, in order to fulfill this calling, St. Paul says we need to have the right kind of gear if we are going to run carefully and intelligently. And he tells us what that gear is. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Stand firm. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions. Now, the word tradition means to pass on. That's what the word means. And so it harkens back to this idea of a relay race, that the tradition is passed on from one person to the next, and to the next. And we know from our Catholic understanding that the good news was first shared orally. It was then written down, and of course, hundreds of years later, the church determined which books would form the New Testament. But in that, we have scripture, but that scripture needs to be handed on in a way that is intelligent and done carefully. And what do we call that? The great tradition. And so for us as Catholic Christians, for 2,000 years, amidst all of the craziness of the world, we have stood firm because we understand that scripture and tradition together form what is called the deposit of faith. The deposit of faith. And listen to what our catechism says about the deposit of faith. Sacred tradition and sacred scripture then are bound closely together and communicate one with the other. For both of them, flowing out of the same divine wellspring, come together in some fashion to form one thing and move toward the same goal. Each of them makes present and fruitful in the church the mystery of Christ, who promised to remain with his own always to the close of the age. Now, here's one of the beautiful things about how this works out. Read any encyclical of any pope. Read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and one of the things that will strike you is how intricately footnoted it is. Everywhere there are footnotes. Why is that? Because we as a church stand firm, and we understand that in order to stand firm, we need to show how this has been passed on. And when you look at those footnotes, you see how the baton has been passed on generation by generation by generation by generation, so that the proclamation of the gospel has not been diluted in Catholicism. It has remained pure because scripture, tradition, forming the deposit of faith, allow us to hear these words from the catechism. As a result, the church to whom the transmission and interpretation of revelation is entrusted does not derive her certainty about all revealed truths from the Holy Scriptures alone. Both scripture and tradition must be accepted and honored with equal sentiments of devotion and reverence. And just by way of a sidebar, many Protestants, when they read those verses from Thessalonians, that becomes a point of conversion, where they realize, oh, scripture and tradition. It's not by scripture alone, it's not by faith alone, tenets of Protestantism, but it is scripture, tradition together. And my goodness, it goes all the way back to St. Paul's earliest letter to the Thessalonians. And that becomes a point of crisis in the hearts of some Protestants, because there's this realization that what the Catholic Church has taught for 2,000 years was also taught by St. Paul. When we allow the deposit of faith to form the proclamation of the good news, we will know life's goal, which is to share in the glory of Jesus. And knowing what our goal is, we will then be equipped with the right gear in the present to run the race of life carefully and intelligently. Beloved brothers and sisters, give thanks to God for Holy Scripture. Give thanks to God for the great tradition. And never, never take for granted the deposit of faith. It is one of the greatest gifts that we have as Roman Catholics.